I'm Pastor Lauer from Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at 9:02 and again on Sunday afternoon about 5:45. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a service on Saturday evening at 6. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service. Our text for this Sunday of the Transfiguration is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 17. Please listen to these three verses. Peter was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." This is our text. What we have today in the Transfiguration of our Lord is one of those massive, meaning-changing, deeply theological, wonderfully powerful, down-to-earth events that can speak to us in so many ways that pastors love to preach on this day and to remind people, especially at the most difficult times of their lives, of what happened and what we learn because of the Transfiguration of Jesus. Until this day, Peter, James, and John went with Jesus up the hill to where our Lord would be transfigured. Up until this day, they had only seen signs of the fact that Jesus was God. Certainly Jesus had said things that only God could say, and Jesus had done things that only God could do. They had heard his teachings and seen his miracles, like walking on water and casting out demons, even raising the dead little girl. All of that had to be pretty impressive. But this event, the Transfiguration of Jesus, was altogether different. So it is with you and me. We have heard what Jesus has to say, and we've heard about what Jesus did. Some of you have heard the Word of God not only as a lesson from the past, But you have heard how God works and speaks to you today in your own situation, in ways that make a permanent difference in what you believe and how you live and your entire outlook on life. Some of you have seen Jesus at work in your own lives in miraculous ways. I know this because you've told me. We Missouri Synod Lutherans don't normally talk about those things with one another, but we're suspicious of those who say that they've experienced the presence and power of God in their lives. In fact, it makes me wonder whether Lutherans really believe that Jesus is still involved in our world at all, or if he's just up there somewhere looking down on us, judging us, waiting for the day when he'll return. But that's not what Jesus said he would do. So I don't know where people get that idea that he's uninvolved. But today, Jesus reveals that even though the presence and glory and power and majesty of God are hidden, that they are very much with us wherever we find him. And when we remember that Jesus has promised to always be with us until the day of his return, we must realize that the full power and glory of God, though hidden, are in fact present with us, just as Jesus has said. That's something that Peter, James, and John came to realize on that day. In the second reading for this morning, Peter wrote, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." They saw his glory. They heard the voice from heaven that caused them to fall on their faces in terror. In terror, it says. It's one thing to see the glory of God surrounding Jesus as he stood there with Moses and Elijah. But then another cloud came over them, and when they heard the voice, they fell to the ground in terror. This glory of God was deadly powerful. But Jesus said to them, "Rise and have no fear." Then they looked up again, and they saw only him. John was also there with Peter and James. In the first chapter of his gospel account, John says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." John says, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father." When did John see the glory of Jesus? It was here at this event which we remember today, at our Lord's Transfiguration. And why does John tell us about this? Well, he answers that in chapter 20. At the very end of his book, he says, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And this is what I want to impress upon you today, that Jesus is truly God made man, that even though he hides it for now under common things, he nevertheless brings the power and glory and majesty of the one true eternal God to earth, more specifically to you. This has its own purpose during the weeks of Epiphany, to help you see that Jesus of Nazareth is not merely a cute baby lying in a manger. He's the Son of God, who speaks as God and acts as God, and now we also see that he is filled with the same glory of God that Moses saw when he was on Mount Sinai with the Israelites. In fact, Moses was there with Jesus and also Elijah the prophet, as seen by Peter, James, and John. Can there be any more proof that from the book of Genesis through Revelation to John, that there is one unbroken revelation from one true God that crosses now 6,000 years of history with one message for all people? That message of all Scripture, from Adam and Eve who walked with God, to the day that those who are still living will see Jesus return in glory. In fact, God's one message throughout all history is this message heard from the cloud at the transfiguration of Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When Moses recorded the events from the creation to giving of God's word at Mount Sinai, he was speaking for Jesus. When Elijah the prophet declared the word of the Lord to the kings and people of Israel, he spoke to Jesus. When Peter, James, and John proclaimed the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and proclaimed him to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world, they also spoke about Jesus. And Jesus told us that when anyone to this day points us to the salvation of God in him, that we are speaking by the authority and power of Jesus himself to forgive sins and deliver eternal life in his name. And that's not just true for pastors on Sunday morning or Saturday night. It is true for every single Christian. Jesus says that whenever you forgive one another, you are also forgiven by God. It is one unbroken message that through Jesus, God's Son, all the world is saved. It may be that in our day and age and place in the world, people are not terrified of God as they should be, because we're insulated from the reality of sin and death and evil and everlasting condemnation. No longer do we have leaders and teachers who remember world wars, plagues that killed thousands and hundreds of thousands, economies that completely collapse, crops that totally fail, floods that wipe out whole communities, or half of our children dying before the age of 5. Perhaps we don't seek the power and salvation of God because we really don't see how we need it very much these days. I don't know. But the God who knows us and loves us, who speaks the word of salvation to us and offers us peace for our lives now and forever, has revealed himself to us once and for all time and all people in his Son. Moses, Elijah, and all the prophets pointed ahead to Jesus. Peter, James, John, and all the apostles have pointed us back to Jesus. Even today, pastors and teachers are telling you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This same God who created all things and promised to destroy all evil and death has been present throughout all recorded history, even to our own day. Have you seen him? Have you heard him? Or have you missed the most important person and event in all of human history because you were too distracted by the things of the world? Now, I don't know that either, but this is what I do know, that there is no other God, no other philosophy, no other meaning or purpose in all of life than that which can be yours through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that realization ought to knock you on your can once in a while. It ought to be a terrifying question of who you are and who you are accountable to, as well as who it is that loves you and is looking out for you. Look, there he is with the great Moses and Elijah, and he shines with the glory of God, the Almighty Creator and Judge of all things. Every Epiphany season, our purpose is to show you that Jesus speaks and acts like no other. By what he says and does, he delivers something that you will hear nowhere else. He brings life and salvation that you can find nowhere else. He brings them for you. If you have heard this, then in the next 6 weeks, you'll hear even more about the love of God which is ours in Jesus. For God so loved you that he sent his only Son. He gave his best, his all, that you might be saved. But if you haven't heard the message of Epiphany, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, well, then the message of Lent may be lost on you, because what's about to happen to Jesus in our telling of this story means something precisely because of who he is. Epiphany tells us that Jesus is God. Lent will tell us what that means. And ultimately, it means you can live forever. But you need to see that and hear that in Jesus himself to believe it. And now is the time to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.